Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right, good morning, and welcome to Holy Week. We're in week two of our series. He suffered, he died, he rose. And today I'm going to talk about the second one, he died, which is why I'm wearing black. I expect Pastor Bruce to wear bright, shiny, white Easter egg bunny type suit next week. I'm just kidding. But Jalen told me that it was too morbid, so she asked me to put on a jacket. I actually had a whole section on death, like meditating, reflecting on death, and I took that out because of just the content. So hopefully we'll be able to finish on time here. But I've titled the sermon, History's Most Precious Death. And for those of you who are new to Christianity, this is like the greatest week for us. This is the week, Holy Week, also called Passion Week, when we commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we call Friday Good Friday, not because it was such a joyous, happy event that occurred 2,000 years ago, but because on that day, Jesus died. And that death changed everything for the better, for the universe, for all of God's people. It produced victory, freedom, and everlasting life for all of God's people all around the world. So it wasn't just a Good Friday. It's literally the best Friday ever. And I'm going to get serious in a moment, but because this death topic is so morbid, but I wanted to start out because of that reason on a lighter note. So, you know, we all love puns, thanks to Cat Casio. And I found a pun on death. So can you imagine if you literally had a cemetery at the end of a dead end street? That would be the ultimate grave humor. Anyway, my message is going to be centered around three questions. Why did Jesus die? And why does he call us to die? Why does our dying matter? And then finally, how will our dying make a difference? What does our death produce when Jesus already died and he said it was finished? So we're going to unpack those three questions. So, but before I do that, I want to give you a little bit of a background on why I chose a sermon titled History's Most Precious Death. I know many people don't actually like to talk about dying or death, but we have to talk about it because it remains humanity's biggest problem. It's a reality that confronts all of us. And death doesn't discriminate. Whether you're rich or poor, you're a believer, you're an atheist, you're educated, you're uneducated, one day death is going to come knocking at your door. It's literally for anyone and everyone. No matter who you are, you can't escape it. You might think, well, with all this modern science and technology and all the advances in medicine, we might have found a cure to death. You know, we're starting to find cures for things like the COVID pandemic. But the thing is, death is unrelenting, and we will never be able to overcome death through our own inventions. And death could come at any moment. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow, which is a little bit of a scary thing. Why must we die? Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So if any of us, if we have ever sinned, I hate to break it to you, but your wages is death. Have I depressed you guys yet? We're all gonna die. But here's some good news. There's a couple of good news I'm going to roll out to you. But the first one is that your death matters to God. In Psalm 116:15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." When God's people die, he sees and he cares. He's not indifferent. He knows when and exactly how we're going to pass from this life to the next. Jesus expressed sorrow when he heard the news of John the Baptist's death. He grieved. And when I read that in the Bible, that really touched me, that Jesus has compassion on me as well, on all of us. He cares about our death because he cares about us, because we're so precious to him. And the most precious death of all was that of Jesus. So let's go into the first question, which is, why did Jesus die? As Christians, we follow a man who is very unique among all the historical figures, right? He's unique for many different reasons, but while most famous people are well known for what they did while they lived, Jesus arguably is even more famous for how he died and what he achieved in dying. Just think about it. What is the greatest symbol that represents Jesus? It's this, right? The Roman cross. It was the ultimate instrument of death. Jesus died on the cross, and the certainty of his death is the one of the most provable facts in history. But he was without sin. He didn't have to pay the wages of sin. So why did he die? There are many answers to this question, but I'm just going to give you a few. And the first answer that I would give is atonement. Jesus was sacrificed as the Lamb of God, taking on the punishment that we deserved. He paid the wages of sin by his death so that we could be set free. And he did that because he wanted to draw us near to God. He wanted to reconcile humanity back to the Father. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. My second answer would be that Jesus died to demonstrate or prove his humanity. Hebrews 9:27 says that it's appointed for a man to die once. The Bible just, it says, if you're a human person, it's appointed for you to die. I think that's also why Jesus died, to show us that the Son of God actually came in flesh as a man, just like one of us, human being in the flesh. And he died like all of us will eventually die, so he could more fully identify with us. And so we can also identify with him. You see, it's only because, if you go to the next slide, it's only because he became like us in the first place that we have a chance to become like him. He showed us a picture of what human beings are supposed to live like according to God's design. And again, I'm sorry to tell you that we're all going to die someday, but the good news is that Jesus died too. And he rose again from the dead, so we don't have to be afraid anymore. We can face death with peace and even with joy if we are one with Christ, if we have put our faith in Jesus. The third reason why did Jesus die that I would give is to reveal God's love for us. And so by understanding this love, we can follow his example and love others. Through the cross, we have a very clear picture of who God is and how much he loved us. There's a graphic that I remembered from long ago, so I searched it and I posted it here. I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus spread out his arms. He said, this much. And then he died. John 15:13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love. Song of Solomon 8:6 says that love is strong as death. I preached on this last Palm Sunday, that God loved us as strong as death, even the death of his son. Let that sink in for you, that the God of the universe, creator of the heavens and the earth, loved you and me so much that he was willing to die for us. If that doesn't move you, then maybe, you know, something's wrong with you. God's love is the best thing that any of us will ever know, and he expressed it to us in the strongest way possible through the cross, by dying for us. You and I are beloved like this, and we are called to love others in the same way. Now, this brings me to the second question. Why does he call us to die? And this is, I hope this is not too murky here, but why does our dying matter? Well, the first way I would respond to that is Jesus calls us to die because we need to follow his example if we are to become his true disciples. No cross, no discipleship. Luke 9:23-24 And this is something Jesus said numerous times in the Gospels. He said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." So right away, we can see that to be a disciple starts with self-denial. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, wrote, "It's useless to try to follow Jesus without taking up our own cross daily. Because if we don't deny ourselves, eventually you're going to deny Jesus. So you either deny you or you deny Jesus, which is the choice." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, another amazing man of God, who was hanged 77 years ago from yesterday for his part in a conspiracy to assassinate Adolf Hitler. So he was part of that resistance movement, and he was an amazing preacher. And he is perhaps most well known for this one line, not on this slide, on the next one, where he said, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." That entire passage is really worth reading, especially during Holy Week. But in the interest of time, I'm just going to kind of skip it, and maybe I'll send it out to you guys by line. But Bonhoeffer's point is this: do we really want to follow Jesus? Do you really want to have fellowship with God? Because he said that the beginning place of our relationship with God is the cross. Then you have to come and die. Like that song that we just sang, that Clay was saying, you know, the cross, the wonderful cross, it bids me come and die, that I would have life. That's the starting place. Only then will you find life. To me, there's no better way to really illustrate this than baptism. And I see my friend Peter sitting there in the back. So back in December 2018, when I was just starting out leading the church, these are the first three people I've ever baptized, so I'm so honored to have been a part of that. Two of them are my sons, and then our friend Peter, who had a dream where God told him, "I want you to get baptized on your birthday." So he did, and so that was our old church venue, and it was such a special moment. But the reason I'm bringing up this nostalgic moment is because that baptism sacrament illustrates for us this process of dying to ourselves and being made alive in Christ. Because you see, when you get baptized, you don't get baptized halfway. You don't say, "Okay, God, I'm going to give you half of my life. Let me just get dunked like two-thirds, three-fourths." No, you get immersed all the way. So all of you dies to Christ, and all of you comes back with a new life in Christ. That's what baptism is. So this means that when we come to Christ, he's not asking for a part of your life. He's asking for all of us. And because Jesus died, we also have to die. But the interesting thing is, when we die, he brings us to the fullness of life. He gives us a new life that is more wonderful than anything that we left behind. Romans 6:3-5. It's a bit of a long passage, but let me read it for you. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." So you see, without dying, there is no being raised back to life. There is no Easter, there's no resurrection, no overcoming death. But if we have died with him, then we have this abundant living hope that no one can take away from us. So my final subpoint, like Bonhoeffer mentioned, death, our dying, why do we die? Our dying means that we can have a deep relationship with God. So how do we do this? Bonhoeffer wrote, we have to first die to the attachments of the world. Jesus said, you can't love both God and money. And John wrote that if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So these are very serious words. And often you might not hear that on a Sunday, but if there's any Sunday out of the year where you have to receive a little bit of tough preaching, it would be Holy Week, right? It would be Palm Sunday when we're recognizing Jesus gave up everything for us. He died for us. He suffered for us. So we also have to be committed to give back to him our lives. There's a lot of good scriptures to illustrate this, but let me just share with you a couple more. And I'm giving you a lot of scripture here. But 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul wrote, "And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Galatians 2:20, this is a really famous one. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This means that for as long as I live, with every breath in my body, I will live for Christ. I will die to myself, my interests, my agenda, my sinfulness, every day. Paul wrote, "I die every day." He also wrote that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Death is gain. So we no longer have to fear death because we can be with God forever. We don't have to dread that moment because we live as one with Christ and he overcame death, like Pastor Bruce will talk about next Sunday. So as believers, we're called to die every day. It's not easy, right? And it doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but the reward is so worth it. What is that reward of our dying to ourselves? What I think the reward is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. This is another bit of a long passage, but this is like my go-to passage. Ever since I was young, this was my heart cry that, "Lord, I want to know you. And how can I know you?" This is what Paul wrote. He was a guy that sacrificed so much of his status and wealth and honor. After he persecuted Christians, he got saved, and then he became the most persecuted apostle. He said, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." The purpose of suffering and death is to know Christ. And to know Christ, not just in the suffering and in the death, which builds our bond and our friendship, but to be resurrected with his power, that you can be the witnesses of Jesus to the rest of the world. I don't know about you, but I need to know Christ so much more. Sometimes I get up here, I prepare a message, and I can give you the impression that I know God, or at least I know about God, but I know in my honest heart how little I really know him and how much more I really need to know him. And I need to share in his sufferings and in his death if I really want to experience the fullness of his power and resurrection. Again, this doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. As long as we're in this world, our stubborn, sinful nature, our flesh is with us. That's why Paul says, "I die every day." Even Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. And the important thing is that we are united with Christ, that we are walking with him and we're allowing him to transform us day by day. When we develop this bond with him, there's nothing that this world can do that we cannot overcome. So my third question, how will our dying make a difference? So the first question was, why did Jesus die? And the second one was, why do we have to die? And then the third one is, well, what is that death going to produce? When we die, what is that going to produce? Because the Bible tells us that we have to bear in our bodies the marks of Jesus. But what does that mean? How can that produce any goodness for the world around us? Well, I have a couple of answers for this. First, death is an investment. It's like a seed that God will make grow. When we simply obey God and invest where God has placed us, where God has planted us. And for us, my family, for the last 7 years, and for 2 more months, it's here, is it 2 months? 3 months. We're here in Taipei, okay? And this is where we're going to make that seed grow. John 12, 24 through 25. I just want to read verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." This has become our ministry motto in Taiwan. Like, let's just, we don't really know what we're doing, but let's just die to ourselves. What does that mean if we have to sacrifice our time, our resources, our effort? Sometimes we even have to sacrifice our family time. Sometimes I feel bad for my kids. And other times it's like financial giving. And we give and we don't expect anything in return. It's just little deaths, right? But that's been our motto. Like, we're going to die so that we trust God to make something happen with that investment. So in so many ways, ministry is like a little bit of dying. And thankfully for Jalen and me, we haven't been traditional ministers. We've had it so good, actually. And it's just been such a joy serving this community. But I know many pastors, especially during the pandemic, that are burnt out and suffering, and they want to quit. And it's just so hard for them to minister to others when they themselves are running on empty, because they're investing so much of themselves to bless other people. But where do they get filled if they're not able to rest and have other people nurture them? Sometimes those doubts will creep into your mind. We're pouring into these people. We're spending time. We're doing all of this. Is it having impact? Is it really worth it? And God says, if you die to yourself, then the seed will reap an abundant harvest of righteousness. If we're still alive, we're struggling, and we want to do things our way, and we want people to like us, we want people to follow us, then maybe God can't really bless that. But when we just say, God, have it your way, and we're totally submitted to Him, and all of our efforts, all of our resources are available to Him, then who knows how much of a harvest God will bring about, not just in this church, but in the many people that this church is impacting outside of this community. And nothing that we could ever give to God will ever compare to how much He has sacrificed and how much He has given to us. I think about when Jesus walked on the earth. Our pastor in New York, Pastor Ron, has a saying that people were seeking after Jesus and they wanted a heal, a meal, or a deal. They're all looking for something for themselves, right? But Jesus still offered Himself. And He would frequently ask people, what is it that you want? Even to His disciples, what is it that you want? Because He was always serving them. And then He paid the ultimate price by sacrificing His own body, His own life on the cross to die for all of us. The more we become leaders, the more I believe we have to learn to die well. The more we have to let go of our preferences. And you're going to be criticized. You're going to be treated unfairly. You're going to be talked about. But that's what Jesus went through. So we're just becoming more like Jesus and learning to take that suffering and building our character. And somehow in that process, that investment produces a rich harvest. I was thinking about Alpha, like Pastor Bruce was mentioning, just so many new people coming to Christ, praying to receive the Holy Spirit. And then I even look around at the room, and when I'm in touch with some of our people who have left us, but they're doing ministry where they are. It's just, you know, of course God is in it, but I have to give some credit to all the amazing volunteers, all the leaders who have served with us. And that is a result of our investment, our dying to ourselves and saying, Lord, we're going to prioritize You and Your agenda and Your kingdom. My second answer is related to this first one about investment. It's really that when we bear the marks of Jesus, when we die to ourselves, it completes the picture. It completes a puzzle. And this is a little bit harder to explain, but when Jesus died, He said, it is finished. Right? When other religious leaders died, they said stuff like, keep striving, or, you know, I'm not the one, or they said other things. But when Jesus died, He said, it is finished. What that means is He completed the work of justification and redemption to save us, to reconcile humanity back to God. But like I was saying earlier, the foot of the cross, the place of the cross, is in a way just a new beginning. Because you see, our mission has just begun. What Jesus did is done, but then He sent the Holy Spirit to work with us. Because Jesus could have saved the entire planet. He could have gone to every nation, preached the gospel, and redeemed His people on His own without us. But He chose the disciples. He chose the church to carry out his mission. So that's what we have to do. There's only certain things we can do. We can't forgive people. Well, in the Catholic tradition, I think some people think that they can, but we're not going to forgive people. We're not going to save people, but we can introduce them to Jesus. We are Jesus's body. We are his hands and feet. So we have a critical role to play in fulfilling the Great Commission. And this verse is really interesting. Colossians 1:24, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is still lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church." I want us to, you know, later you can read the whole chapter and understand that Paul is not saying that Christ's affliction is lacking in our salvation, that there's something that's to be added to what Jesus did, because he did it all. But what he is saying, which is interesting enough, is that because God hid the gospel to non-believers, it is up to us to help the people understand the gospel, and we partner with Jesus. So God already did his part, and now it is his people that have to go out and share the story. And how do we do that? What's interesting is Paul says it is his sufferings that opened the door to the gospel. It could be just a financial investment. Is that a suffering for you? I don't know. Maybe it could be. But it might mean foregoing your comfort of your home country. It might mean even imprisonment. Like, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be separated from my family. But whatever the price that God has, if we are passionate about the gospel, we want to be available to him. And when we do that, when we are willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel, then we are able to make an impact to the people that don't know Jesus. There's a close connection between the death of Jesus and the death of the saints that God finds precious. And this verse was incredibly poignant because it was even prophetic. Right after Paul wrote this in a Roman prison, this ferocious persecution was unleashed in the Roman Empire by Nero. So does our sacrifice, does our dying make a difference? You bet it does. For us to make any real spiritual impact around us, we have to demonstrate that selfless love that Christ demonstrated for us on the cross. 2 Corinthians 4:10 through 12, Paul says, "Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." For me, honestly, I can't say that I've suffered through ministry over the last 3 or 4 years. It's just been a lot of fun. The only thing that the only thing I could really think of was some sleepless nights. And every now and then I have this like annoying eye twitch. And so I have to put like a warm towel and rest. And then, but I use that as an excuse to not do house chores. Now she knows. But ministry has not been a matter of suffering for me. But for some people, maybe if it's you're in the Ukraine, or maybe you're in Myanmar or mainland China or wherever, there's going to come some suffering. Apostle Paul, he faced death every day. And many other modern heroes of the faith have followed in his footsteps. John Wesley put it like this. He had a burning passion for God. He said, "Light yourself on fire with passion, and people will come from miles to watch you burn." How about John Knox? He was a Scottish pastor whose ministry brought tremendous revival and reformation in Scotland. And he was famous for this statement, "Give me Scotland or I die." This prayer wasn't like an arrogant demand to God, like, "God, you have to do this." But it was a passionate plea of a man who was willing to lay down his life for the gospel and for the benefit of his countrymen. I remember asking our church to pray like that. "Lord, give me NTU, give me Taipei, give me Taiwan, or I die." I just want to close with a story of a man in Africa. He's a Maasai warrior. I told this story once before, maybe 3 years ago. And this is a story verified by Billy Graham, and this was told by Michael Card. So I'm going to try to paraphrase, but this man, Joseph, one day was walking in these dusty streets of Africa, and he met a Christian who evangelized to him. He got saved, and then the Holy Spirit just started to work in his heart. And the first thing that he wanted to do, he was so excited to be a Christian, he wanted to go back to his village and tell everyone about Jesus. And then he started to go door to door telling everyone that he met Jesus. He talked about the cross, how God suffered on the cross to forgive us of our sins and take us to heaven. And to his amazement, the villagers not only ignored him, they became violent. And they started to hurt him. The men would hold him down while the woman in the village would take these barbed wires and just lacerate him. And they beat him so badly and dragged him from the village and left him for dead in a ditch or to die alone in a bush. Somehow he managed to crawl into like a water hole, passing in and out of consciousness. And then he woke up and then he realized that maybe he hadn't rehearsed enough. Maybe he wasn't telling it correctly. Why would they not understand this amazing good news of Jesus? So he practiced and then he decided to go back and share his faith once more. He limped back into the circle of the huts and began to proclaim Jesus. He died for you so that you might find forgiveness and come to know the living God. But again, he was grabbed by the men in the village and held while the woman beat him, reopening wounds that had just begun to heal. And once more, they dragged him unconscious and left alone to die. Now, to survive that first beating was quite remarkable. But then to survive the second one was like a miracle of God. Days later, he woke in the wilderness, bruised, scarred, but he was determined to go back. He returned to the village, and this time they attacked him before he even got to say anything. And the men held him down, and the women started to beat him. And so he started to speak, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And right before he passed out, he began to see that the women started to weep. The women who were beating him started to see something in him that they didn't have themselves. And this third time, he awoke in his own bed, and the ones who had beaten him so severely the first two times, they were nursing for him and caring for him, and the entire village had come to Christ. This is what can happen when you have a passion for the gospel that is greater than your passion for yourself and for your self-preservation. Jesus' death on the cross was and always will be history's greatest, most precious death. But when we live our lives like the way Jesus did, our death, our daily dying can be of great value to God. That's what I want to leave you with and challenge you with as Clay's going to come and sing that song one more time about the wondrous cross. If you want to know Christ, you don't go to the palace. You don't go to some politician's home. You don't even go to like an academic institution. You have to go to the cross. And when you lay your life down, then you will know Christ. Not just know about him through all the intellect, but you will know him in your heart, that Jesus suffered and died for you. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Holy Week. I thank you for your passion for us that caused you to give up all that you had in heaven, to step down and to be like us so that we could relate to you and that you could demonstrate for us what the Son of God, who he is and how much he loves us. We thank you, Lord, that you considered us worthy to die for and to purchase with your own blood. We just want to invite you, Holy Spirit, come and touch our hearts and transform us so that we would know you. We would know you in your suffering. We would know you in your death. And we would know you in your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.